Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Hey. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Hit the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, kid, check the dose and need an ass for the ticket. That's a ticket, man, I ain't gon' pay. Gotta do 30 days locked up in CJ. Twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling. My drag bike on my bike, get the blow in. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like I'm on, cause the kids when it's time to eat. Don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rolling to the bone. With 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit a ball. My homeboys might rubble, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, yo, fucking well. I guess you could call me the angel.
Hey, what's going on?
Nada, what's going on with you, man?
Not much. Just, had a little problem Monday and Tuesday and yesterday and under control now.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You got the hamster inside that thing running everything on its wheel or what?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And that and I got sent a virus.
Lovely. Lovely.
Yeah. Oh, we're all good now.
Very good.
Yeah. So just be careful. Unless you trust someone real good, you know, if you get a thing from, hey, I haven't seen you in forever, and you don't know who that person is, don't open it.
Oh, I never do. I really go over my emails good. You know, I'm like a stickler for that. I don't trust shit.
Mm-hmm.
I trust snail mail. And even that I don't trust really 100% anymore.
Yeah. But, just a little bit here and there. Kind of like, I got a lot of pain still, but, you know what the sciatic nerves are?
Oh, hell yeah. I had that act up on me one time about 5 years ago, and I went to bed, and I woke up, and I couldn't get out of the bed. Just to move made me cry, and my daughter was freaking out. She was like, what's wrong? I didn't know what was wrong, and when I finally was able to get out to the doctor, which it took everything that I could just to get up out of the bed. It was terrible. They told me that it was that damn sciatica nerve, and they said the thing with it is you don't know when it's going to happen, and you don't know when it's going to, like, basically stop because it involves the nerve. And I was incapacitated for almost 2 weeks, and then I woke up one morning, and it was like I was fine. It was the craziest shit ever, but that's some painful stuff. That's not pleasant at all.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
And like when you got back injuries and stuff in play and you've got discs and things, like maybe pressing up against it or pinching it or doing whatever that spinal cord system does, I can imagine people with back problems, you know, probably suffer a lot worse than what I went through. Knock on wood, it has never acted up again, and I'm extremely happy for that. But, you know, if you've got back issues and stuff, that's terrible. I feel bad for people because that hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on a second. What's up there, Skinny?
Hey, what's going on?
It's Nora.
I'm here.
Hello, dear.
Hey, how you doing, dear?
All is well on the East Coast. How's everything in the Northwest?
That's so cool. That's okay.
Awesome.
We had like two cold nights. I mean, I had to wear like pants, a t-shirt, and a sweatshirt. I'm like, holy crap.
It's chilly tonight, but while we had the storms roll through here over the last 24 hours, the humidity was so thick. Even with the rain coming down, you couldn't, if you didn't have AC, you weren't comfortable because the humidity was just like a butter. It was bad.
Oh, I know.
It was bad.
We had
but it
bad
seems
too.
To, yeah, it seems to have taken the heat out of here. It's like tonight I'm sitting out on the back deck now and I got long sleeves on and pajama pants, but it's chilly. It's chilly. It's a comfortable evening and not a cloud in the sky. It's all right.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So how's your weather there on the West Coast?
The weather on the West Coast right now, it's about 79. Sunny.
Yeah.
Humid.
That's not too bad at all.
That
we're sounds at like 74. A perfect temperature. Yeah. I think yesterday
you guys
we were only in the
60s. So Phil's at 79, you're at 74, and we're at 72.
Yeah.
Yes. It's 72 in Rhode Island now that we've got the weather report underway.
So let's get down
earlier.
To business.
It's 89
early. 89. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-mm. Go ahead, honey.
No, I was going to say, you know, a long time ago, you wanted to talk about, I didn't get a chance to get there to hear it. What is that actually about? I see that page, and I have no understanding of what it is.
What page?
Utopia.
That's about the reality show that they're trying to get a group of
well they got people already. They got people already, but I heard some people were dropping out. They wanted me to do it, but
well, that night we had the producer or who was he to the show, the creator. For Utopia, the guy we had on the show.
Yeah, okay. I'm Chen Zinger's name.
But you gotta wonder because we threw some hardball questions at him that he didn't have answers for at the time. And you gotta wonder what people pulled out and their reasons why. And it's like that night when we talked about it, you know, there was pros and cons with it. There was ups and downs. So that'd be interesting to see who pulled out and why.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was based on a reality show. I went under the assumption, like, this is how the world was going to be. We were all going to be separated by commune together or something, you know. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, no, it hasn't
but what
started
it is,
up
what it is they're looking for 15 people. They're going to drop them somewhere. They'll have enough to build, grow food, maintain their lives, and they're going to have money for a startup business. And they want those 15 to create their own society. And it's
cool.
Kind of like Big Brother, but it's on, if you want to see it, just type in Utopia Holland, and you can see what it is. But that's how it's going to do, and they're going to film it live for a year. They're going to have cameras set up all over the place. Watch what's going on.
That would be crazy, huh?
Yeah.
So
why
did
trailer,
you turn it down?
Huh?
I said,
why did you turn it down?
Yep.
Why did I turn it down? Because I don't feel like leaving my lifestyle for a year.
And the money wasn't right. Okay.
And there was also a couple of questions I threw at the guy who was talking about the show on here that he didn't have any answers for, and it would involve, you know, keeping people's rights and stuff protected long after the show. And you know, you got to wonder if that's a battle their legal team wants to do for like infinity and beyond. And you know, with throwing that out there, if I was thinking, I'm sure several other people were thinking the same thing. So, like I said, it would definitely be interesting to see who pulled out and why. Phil, you should get a line on that.
Yeah, I'm working on it. They were supposed to. They'll be back. Not just a couple weeks, I think.
Nice. He was an interesting character. I will say that much. Very cordial to talk to.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the T-shirts they promised me.
You might be waiting a year.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you aware that they're starting to bring in more help in Chicago because of the murders?
Because of the
what? They got the National Guard over there, don't they?
Yep. Yep.
And what do they think that's going to solve?
That it'll lessen the murder rate every weekend. Well, like, let's take 4th of July weekend. I think it was 76 people were shot. And I think 7 to 10 of them died. It was crazy. By the end of the three-day weekend, I mean, it rose above, you know, what they actually first initiated on 4th of July. But, yeah. They got to do something.
That's crazy.
All anybody's doing here in certain parts are just killing each other and taking innocent people with them. You know, hey, you want to shoot someone? Shoot that person. Just leave the innocent ones alone.
I think it's going everywhere, but that's just my personal opinion.
Right.
You know, but that's crazy. I mean, Chicago's a big city. Not as some of the other ones out there, but it's more, there's more people stacked on people, you know? And
right.
Well, I got news for both of you. You walk into the wrong neighborhood, you're going to get fucked up.
Wait a minute. You know, I said in the beginning, it's not as big as other cities. I did say that because California in itself, you've got several cities over there that are just...
That's a huge ass thing.
Ridiculous. But Chicago, you know, in that area is, you know, it's a good sized city considering the towns that surround it and just the states alone that surround it. That's, you know, farmland.
Right.
You know, and they stack the people in there like they do any other city. And then you've got the extras in the fold that don't belong there for whatever reason and that are shifting from one place to the next. And that's, you add a little bit of heat and humidity, and that's the makings for a nice mess.
Right. Well, you have to look at the factor as well. Like, say in some of the neighborhoods in New York, I don't know what it's like in your area, so I'm going to use New York, how the housing is very close knit together, okay? And, I mean, you've been here, so... It's close-knit, but not as close-knit as in certain neighborhoods in Chicago, okay? As
well,
sometimes you can reach out and touch someone, you know.
Yeah, well, the thing is that the housing in New York versus here we have little miniature sky-rises. They only go up about 25 stories, 35 maximum, and... That's strictly for the elderly, but like out in New York, I can't speak for rural New York, upstate New York, but like
right.
In Queens, Brooklyn, stuff like that, their housing is sky rises in the sky. We're talking like 200 feet in the air of low income, you
right.
know, and that lifestyle is totally different. We've got our like projects. They're nestled in to all the neighborhoods. It doesn't
right.
matter, you know, you go a couple of streets over or two streets down, whatever, you're going to come upon it. And, you know, the population in Fall River, Mass. is a wide and mixed variety of the working class, the poorer class,
right.
et cetera. But it's all mixed in together, and it makes sometimes nowadays with you know, everything being so oppressed the way it is, it can make for a bad brew because the poor automatically discriminate the rich and the rich automatically look down at the poor and, you know, things right. get heated. So I can't even imagine. And, I mean, Fall River is like an armpit hair compared to Chicago.
Right.
And Chicago, too, as like cities in California, is a popular tourist spot, too. So you got tourist people in the middle of all that.
Of everything, yeah. Because, you know, they don't understand or, you know what neighborhoods to stay away from. You know,
exactly.
because people get lost and they're driving, and all of a sudden it's like, bam, you're hearing gunshot, and it's like, what the hell? You know, but that's every day in some of the neighborhoods out here. Not so much like where I'm at, but when you go further north, you know, and then
right.
east, I mean, you're right.
right
smack into, you know, areas that, you know, broad daylight, nighttime, it doesn't matter. You're just in a real bad place and just hurry up and drive right through it.
Yeah, even where I spent some nights up in L.A., different parts of L.A., I heard gunfire.
Oh, I don't believe it. Because I get different headlines that come out of Olay. You know, but it seems like L.A. always has something popping off. And, like, even I've heard a lot of bad stuff about Hollywood, too. You know, it's like going to the tourist spots is one thing, but they say that you really got to know your way around there because there's spots that aren't nice neither. And, I mean, Oakland, I don't even know if I'd ever want to go there because everything that comes this way is never good, you know. And I'm sure there are good pots with the bad pots, but I have not read it in no headlines on the East Coast. And, I mean, that place just reminds me of being very scared.
Wow. See, I never realized that Hollywood or L.A. would have bad spots. And the only reason why I went under the assumption of that is you're thinking Hollywood, movie stars, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
isn't that like Rodeo Drive? And I don't know. I don't know my way around California. All
Rodeo,
I know is that's a huge state.
Rodeo Drive is Beverly Hills, right?
Oh, so, okay.
Where did he disappear to? I'm waiting for the toilet to flush. I said Rodeo Drive, isn't that Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
is it Hollywood that butts up to Beverly Hills?
They're all pretty close in proximity.
Yeah, see, that's why I was always under the assumption that it's decent and not any kind of problem in L.A., Hollywood, or anything because, like I said, movie stars, stuff like that, you know. I didn't realize that there were areas that you need to watch out for.
There's all kinds of different. It depends because each one is different up there. Each town, they have their own little police departments who have their own little fucking niches and quirks. Yeah, that's why I post. Everybody out here gets a post about who's doing what checkpoint where.
Right. Oh, whatever happened to that cop that beat that woman out there?
Oh, he's on vacation right now.
Obvious. Because wasn't she homeless or something on top of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Unreal. Yeah, see, I wouldn't even know how your state is. You know, like, what you can, if you can compare a part of your state like to here, I could understand it better, but, you know, me, I always looked at California as a glitzy state. Does that make sense?
No, it's more like a land of fruits and nuts.
Well, yeah, and that Venice Beach or something, ain't it, or park or whatever they call that, that's like people that got stuck in the 60s that didn't come back.
well, from what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm only going by hearsay. I don't know.
Well, you got good and bad with everything. I mean, like, wait till now. Get ready for this one, because you're going to have a armed Homeland Security agents, community outreach programs, just to let the people know they're in your area.
Are you serious?
Yep. They're out in force to remind the residents about the snitch program.
Oh, God. So whoever snitches gets the prize, huh?
There you go.
I don't know.
The first I got, one where they already are doing it, is in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, my God.
Well, what they're trying to do is condition, it's clearly an attempt by the government to condition your kids that is, there's going to be large armed military law enforcement.
Right. Are you still there? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you kind of like...
Yeah, went to space for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went
well,
to space.
It's because, yeah. Well, someone's knocking on the door. But it's kind of a backdoor. It's a backdoor. It's a way, you know, it's a backdoor way around everything.
Right.
Well, you're going to have militarized law enforcement presence as a normalcy. To condition your kids not to get worried about seeing an armed fucking guy who looks like he's in the military and he's actually law enforcement.
Yeah, I know. Sure is a crazy ass society for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's like them guys in Michigan that they're protesting the open carry.
Mm.
Open and carry what?
Open carry weapons.
Oh, okay. Are they trying to pass that in Michigan?
They're doing it all over.
Wow. That's unreal.
Yeah, that's a farming state, and, you know, a lot of the people out there are raised with either shooting, you know, compound bows or firing a 12 or 22 rifle. It's just part of who they are, you know.
Right.
Big hunting state. So, you know, I don't know.
See, that's odd how Michigan has the open and carry, but here we have the conceal and carry. What do they have in your area, Stacy?
I have no clue.
No clue?
I know you can't keep it concealed, I believe, but I'm not sure. I'm not even sure because when I moved back here, I didn't apply for no permits to nothing because the people out here just get stupid. And
right.
I haven't been hunting since I lived in Michigan, you know, and that's about it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys... It's going to get weird before it gets better.
I think it's going to get weird and stay there. I don't think it'll ever get, like, better, per se. Maybe with some things, not with everything, you know?
Yeah. Have you guys
it's actually kind of odd how, you know, how we saw how before what took place in Boston, how it was they're coming in, no warrant, you know what I mean? And then now they're trying to condition people and, you know, what's going to be next? Is it going to be where they're going to put billboards up or signs up, hey, you know, report here or here's a number, call, you know? Are they going to teach this to kids in school?
Yeah.
Hey, if your mommy and daddy are doing this at home, make sure you call this number. Who knows?
Scary thought.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when do you start bringing in all the aliens?
What aliens?
Say that again.
The illegal aliens?
All the children, yeah, they're putting them everywhere.
I feel for every child, believe me, I do. But, you know, I don't get how we can provide stuff for these children when we're having a tough time providing for our own people. I don't understand that. And it's not to be mean or anything, but we don't have the economy or anything to even get involved with something like that. And what blows my mind is the fact that, you know, some of these kids, their parents just sent them on their way without their parents. And I don't get that neither. You know,
and
it's like,
how terrifying is that for a child? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. Go ahead.
Some of the parents were just sending their kids over the border, not even coming with them. You know, how do you just send your kid through the night on a passage to another country that you know there's a possibility that they ain't getting in?
Yeah.
You know, and as much as I feel bad for that, you know, I feel that they have to go back, and maybe the parents need to be held responsible in their country. You know, something needs to be done over there to stop all this, the mess over there.
Well, I mean, let's use this as a hypothetical. You're in, I don't know, Tijuana. You want a better life for your child. And say your child's 6 years old, okay? And you're booting that child out and saying, this is where you go. Cross that line. You know what I mean?
Well,
how would a parent know that that child got over?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's bad enough, you know, you get caught at the border, you have to do all what needs to be done, and they ship you back, it's processed, et cetera.
Right.
But when you're sending children across that don't have parents with them, and, you know, they don't know right from left, that's just horrible in itself.
Yeah.
And I feel that their parents should be held accountable. I really do. But the system over there, that'll never happen. But should these children be returned back to their rightful parents? Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, I got nothing against kids. I love them dearly. I feel truly bad for these children. But, you know, we've got a foster care system that's broken down, that kids don't even get placed once they reach a certain age. It's just far and in between. And we're going to take all these children on? Where are we taking them to?
Exactly. Where are they going to be placed? I mean, everything is so full. What are they going to do? Use prison systems that haven't even been used? And they're going to put these children there or something? What?
I have no idea, but, you know, that's...
Yeah, but you got to remember, they're coming from what we consider third world countries where they have nothing.
I understand that. I do. And like I said, it's not that I don't feel for them, but like Stacey was saying, which is an excellent point, if there isn't enough help for people here, how are they going to get help? And I know that they're children, and they need better medical, dental, everything. I get that. But how can this country provide for them when they're struggling to provide for our own?
Look, all I'm telling you is they ought to take all that money and all that bullshit that they're doing right now and put it towards the vets who deserve it and earned it.
Well,
I agree.
End of story.
Yeah. I mean, I got a phone call the other day, you know, from the vets, you know, they were collecting. And, you know, the sad thing is you don't know who's good or who's not. You know, where is this money actually going? And I used to donate to the vets for a long time. And so you had something on the show in regards to, like, where's the money going? Or what places were actually doing something, you know?
Or,
and then I sat there,
the
and it was like,
charity.
Exactly.
Well, the actual charity was only getting, like, 1 or 2% of the money made. Yeah, I know what show you're
yeah.
talking about.
And, you know, so when I got a phone call the other day, you know, I sat there, I said, take me out to the list. You're not going to help out of that? No, I have no problem helping out of that. But only if it's legit. Well, we're legit. I say, you can say anything. You're on the phone. Take me off your list.
True.
I mean,
so,
you know, it's
so
not a brainer to, like, call a VA hospital and say, hey, you know, where can I donate? Sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
You could probably donate right to the VA hospital itself. Just find
That's
out if they get 100.
No.
Just
the
find
ones
out.
You want to, no. The one you want to donate to, and not the Wounded Warriors Project, because everybody at the top's getting paid and the money's not trickling down. As you guys know, I told you, by law, they only have to give 10% to the charity.
Right.
Right.
You want to give it to the Disabled Vets of America. That's
the
where you want to
be. Vets of America. Okay.
That's where you want to send your money to.
Right.
That's the only one that's legit.
Okay, at least I know that.
Or your VFW or your American Legion.
Isn't one of those what they call like a Mars Myers post or something? Isn't it like the same thing?
No.
Okay.
Nope. You want to go with either the Veterans of Foreign Wars,
okay.
the American Legion, or the DAV, Disabled Vets?
Okay.
Disabled American
yeah.
Vets.
Yeah. I remember when you did that show and that person was on from DAV.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was a good show.
You know, and there's another one that's helping kids, and it's called change.org. What it does is it allows people with disabilities to save money for their future and live more independent lives.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of them out there. You just got to do your homework.
Right. So are any new laws trying to come into play in your state?
No, actually, what I was going to talk about today was the 10 facts that nobody knows about swatification of America. Is it In the 80s, there was maybe 3,000 SWAT a year. Now there's over 50,000 a year. And the most low-level drug crimes.
Wow.
Like 25 times higher than what it was in 1980.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm. You know, and excuse me, now there's more than 80,000 SWAT raids. 10% of the time, the SWAT teams are deployed to a private home. 50% of the time, the SWAT team raids either black or Latinos. 65% of the SWAT deployments are battering on boot or some sort of explosive device used to gain force entry into a home. 62% of all the SWAT raids involve a search for drugs. Of all SWAT raids, no contraband of any kind was found by the police. In cases where it is suspected there is a weapon in the home, police only find a weapon 35% of the time. More than 100 American families have their homes raided by SWAT every single day. Only 7% of the SWAT deployments are for hostage, barricade, or active shooter scenarios. Even small towns are getting SWAT teams. 30 years ago, only 25.6% of the communities with populations between 25,000 and 50,000 people had a SWAT team. Now that number increased to 80%. And thanks to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, police forces all over the world are being showered with billions of dollars for giving away all the equipment we used during the war.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad. What do they need a SWAT team for?
I don't know. Is it a government's way of showing more force?
No. Let me lay one on you like this. Okay.
Okay.
Me and Stacy come to your house. We're there for a couple hours. We leave and someone that's mad at you says we brought drugs to your house. That next morning, you got 30 cops coming through your front door after they blow the door and throw stun gun grenades in the house. And you haven't, we didn't do anything but have dinner and leave.
And they can just do that at will.
Yep. Yep.
Damn, when did that go into effect?
It's been in effect for years, Derek. It just gets worse every year.
I have to start watching my TV. Of course, you probably don't see it on TV and the news anymore.
Nope. If you do, it's a small little article somewhere.
That was just unreal. I mean, okay, what happened to the old fashioned where the cops came in, you know? And they would sit there like, you know, is there a party going on or whatever? Are there any drugs? Are there any weapons we need to know about? Whatever happened to that?
Yes. It happens every day.
And, of course, I'm sure when they storm your door, they don't replace it. That's on
no.
you, right?
Everything's on you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We have something like that here, but the thing is that they can surround your house, et cetera, but someone has to be home for them to kick in the door. If nobody's in the house, they don't do like a forced entry type deal. They always wait until the people are home. I don't know if that's like a law stipulated or that's just the way they do things, but that's the way it usually goes down in Fall River anyways.
I can't say what happened here. I've never seen it. I've never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, they wear helmets and vests, and they got pretty little yellow letters on the back of the vest. Yep, quite interesting.
The only thing I've ever seen is, like, the county sheriffs, you know, when they go to grab the dog as they're searching the car. I've seen that. I actually stood there taking photos of it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that, you're not supposed to. Oh, well, whoops. I wasn't seen doing it as far as I know. I just sat there and thought, damn, a regular town cop pulls a car over, and here comes State with dogs, and they're ripping through his car. And I was saying to him, like, snap, snap, snap. I mean, you can't take photos like that. Why? Why do they bring them in? It's a local cop. Should have just dealt with it himself.
And like, over here, usually when they do that stuff, it's at night. It's like at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like they make sure that somebody's home. And all hell breaks loose. Yeah, I've seen it. We were at a Dunkin' Donuts one time just standing outside drinking coffee, and right across the street, shit was getting real. We watched them pull up, unload around the house, bash in the door, and bring out about six people. I was like, damn. But, yeah, I've seen
it. That's insane.
Yeah.
No, I've only seen that stuff on TV.
Nope, I've seen it.
You guys didn't ask me what happened Sunday.
What happened Sunday?
You didn't ask me where I was.
Where are you?
I sent you a text.
Well, yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
It was that illusion cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With all your little groupies.
Well, you know. But, yeah.
Was it just like an open house type thing going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had those pictures happened to be on a table. It was set up pretty nice.
Yeah, when I saw, I just started crying.
There was a couple of people in them pictures that I knew. Well, I've never met, but I know. They were nice.
He said to say hello to everybody, though.
Hello.
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 He was planning on time this week, but they're filming this week.
Oh, are they starting back? Is he back with SLA for the new season, or you don't know? Oh, you can't say, I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
He did really good, you know. That's going to be awesome to see him back. But it looks like he's been pretty busy with Mayhem and stuff as well. I don't know if they're coming out this way this year.
Mayhem's coming here, but Attica 7's not going to be with them when it gets here.
Yeah.
No.
That happened the last time, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kinds of craziness, but a lot of people there, and the big guy took time out to spend time with the kids.
Yeah, well, I saw some photos from his page with, like, you know, a little kitten and stuff. That was, like, so cute. It's like, it was this big, big guy, you know, I had this really big kitten. That was the same day, right? So I think that was Ira's cat that he adopted. Ira Black. I think I said that right. That dude has got some wicked ass long hair. I've never seen a guy with long hair like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer than mine.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I have something cool to share with you guys. My daughter is going for motorcycle lessons.
Nice.
She's going, and she's got to get licensed, and I don't know if she'll get a bike, but she's excited about it. I just hope she can hold up the bike.
Good. What's she going to ride?
You know how they have those things where they teach you how to ride and stuff, and you learn on what they have? You know, I think each state has that, or they offer it, and she's going for that. And it starts not next week, but the following week. So she's pretty stoked about it. You know, I'm going to learn how to ride a motorcycle. Like, I hope you can hold it up. I don't know what they'd use. You know, if they use, like, little Hondas or something like that. You know, but I'm proud of her. She's excited.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, they probably use some little Honda 250s.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of women go to them. You know, I can't say more than men, but I mean, a lot more women are wanting to ride, you know, and so I think they have to have something small enough because, you know, just to be on the safe side, I take it, I don't know. It's not with the DMV, but it's with the state or something, I think it is, you know, where they offer the classes. You got classroom time, you got the writing time, you know, and that kind of stuff. So she's got her gloves in the mail, and she'll have a helmet for it, even though we're in a no-helmet law state, you know. But she just wants to be on the safe side, you know, for learning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm excited for her. Like, yeah. Go out and get you a Vespa now. I don't think you have to be classified for M license for that. I'm not sure. So there you go, Stacy. You come in, you'll have a partner in crime to ride with.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kinds of craziness all over the place. You know, like they're gonna have all kinds of events all over the place. Like that guy who played Opie, he's gonna be in October. He's gonna be over by New Jersey.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Nice.
And then Chubbs is gonna be in Ohio.
Chuck Zito?
No, Chips.
Oh, Chips. I'm sorry. I thought you said Chuck. I'm like, he was killed off. Like, wait, okay.
Let me find you.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
maybe one day they'll get close enough to you, Stacy. You can go meet him and get photos with him.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Yeah, that would be cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be tremoring in my seat. I'd probably pass out. I'd have to take my blood meter with me. My sugar would bottom out. I'd be on the floor. Pink. Yeah.
Well, no, you just have to look at them like, you know, your friends, you know, like they're not who they are. Don't panic.
No way. I'd be a nervous wreck.
Yeah, I know. You remember when, oh, my God, when I was making sure you got on the show for that one show we had, and then she didn't talk.
Yeah, nope.
Oh, God.
I, like, clammed up like nobody's business.
I still have two pairs of pants.
That's some crazy stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, don't forget to watch, well, you guys can watch it. It's probably over for you now. Unless it's going to start
what, game related?
Yep.
No, I'm recording the whole series, so it'll be over in 5 minutes. So I've got it on DVR. Yep. I watch that like clockwork.
Woo-hoo. Oh, I don't watch that. That's
it's a good show.
It's what?
I said it's a good show. It's a good series. But, you know, everybody's got their own, you know, games. I just figure, well, I don't watch TV often, so there's only a couple things I watch, and I just record it, you know. And then if I don't watch it that night before I go to bed, then when I get up at the butt crack of dawn in the morning, I put it on.
I catch up on my DVR stuff when my son leaves every morning because he goes to like a summer thing. And as soon as he goes. I'm like, I'm DVR. I get my hours worth of what I missed.
Now, is he going to go back into karate again?
No. No.
Okay.
He's aiming for baseball. I don't know how that's going to pan out. We'll have to stay tuned.
Right.
But nope, he lost the drive for the karate, and I don't know. It was getting hotter and hotter, you know, as with anything, and he just had a tough time catching up, and he's the one who came to me and said he didn't want to do it anymore. And I sat and I talked to him for a while, you know. I'm not going to force him to do anything he doesn't want to do, but I needed to make sure that the decision he was making was based, you know, on something worth a reason for me to pull him out, you know. So, but that's that, you know. It's whatever he wants to do, I let him do. And
yeah, he'll figure it out.
We're trying to make the best of it.
Right.
My daughter will be there.
Go ahead.
My daughter will be here in 19 days.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome time for you.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm going to turn off the phone. I'm going to turn off the world. And I'm going to take my granddaughter out. I already told my daughter. I'm like, I said, you got a 7-day vacation. Go play with your friends. I said, because I really don't want to see you. I want to see my granddaughter. And she was quite insulted, but it was the truth. You know, I talk to her every day. I talk to my granddaughter every day, FaceTime.
Right.
You know, it's not the same. You know?
I know.
And I'm going to spoil her rotten the 7 days she's down here. I'm going to turn her into a hellion.
Right.
Yep. She's going to go home telling my daughter she wants her mama, and that's it. It's funny because if she throws a tantrum and she won't stop, Jocelyn will FaceTime me, and all I got to do is say her name, and she instantly stops and looks at me, and she sticks her little finger on her mouth like, uh-oh. instantly. But all
so
the kids in the family will like that with me because they know I put up, but, like, if I call your name once and I'm stern about it, you better, like, give me the attention I want. And they hear it in my voice, and she stops instantly. It's funny. And then, like, within 30 seconds, I've got her laughing or singing or something, you know, it kind of, like, changed whatever she was thinking about or whatever she was having a fit about out of her thought process. You know, but I get a lot of phone calls.
But that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, with Jonathan being 19 months old now, he finally says first word, Mama.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, pretty non-exciting for us. Like, okay, he still has his yabber-yabber. He's got it through a sea surface, but he said Mama.
Cool. Once they stop talking, look out.
Well, he doesn't say it all the time. It's the hit or miss thing, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's cool. I mean,
yeah,
there are things
trying,
I'll say to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. We're still working with him. Getting so big and so cute. Chum was in last week and just had a ball with him. Hey, sounds like a minion.
Yeah.
54 days till the NFL kickoff.
I know. So we...
just putting it out there.
Yeah, I know. But that means it's that much closer to winter. Oh, hell no. Ugh. Not looking forward to that.
I like the fall. The winter I can do without.
Yeah, well, yeah, the fall is nice. It's the winter. I think Phil's going to have to figure out how to send his California weather mine and your way, so that way we're not caught up in that horrific freeze.
Don't need, don't need to send anything this way. The coal can stay here. Keep that warm weather out there for when I get there, damn it. I don't want none of that sunshine being shared with anything on the East Coast. You live on the East Coast because you like snow. You know? And I'm done with the snow. Done with it. I will box it and ship it out to anybody that wants friggin' snowballs and icicles and dead trees.
Oh.
Throwing a branch.
Yep. The whole shebang. You know, winters don't bother me at all. But this past one certainly did, because that just hit beyond record with me.
I don't like being housebound and tied up to a closed space for a longer period of time. I like being out and about and not having to freeze while doing
right.
it.
Normally we get mild winters. Yeah, I mean, like, you'll have mild winters. You may get a lot of snow, but it's mild. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
bad on everybody.
Ugh. You know,
it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse for you guys as it goes along. If you, you know, keep up with the weather and stuff and the people who are predicting all that stuff. Each year is going to get a little bit colder and a little bit colder in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, I don't see what can get beyond the negative 57. Hello? I mean, that was just insane.
If you really think about it, it's the beginning of another ice age.
Yeah.
And it's going to stop from north of you and come down across the Midwest, you know, to go across Illinois and all that area.
Yeah.
And come straight down and begin to broaden out. You know, I've read some stuff on that, and I've seen a few things on that, and just the more and more you read about it, the more and more it makes sense with the way the winters have been shifting over the last several years.
Exactly, and plus how Antarctica, everything is melting at a different rate of speed compared to what it was like back in the 80s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they were saying that the area that would, you know, be affected, which would come by you guys, you know, Wisconsin, Illinois, as you go down, will be unlivable. And then they were talking about population, how everybody would have to leave that central Midwest area and squeeze on the two coastlines. And, you know, they talked about, you know, how that would affect things. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things to read that deal with that, because this winter was just proof that, you know, we don't know
what's
how to control Mother Nature.
Yeah.
She controls herself. You know,
yeah.
She does what she sees fit.
But then there's people that believe that the government is controlling the weather. Like playing at the limits, you know what I mean? To see how far us as humans can handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when it gets, like, when it goes, a wind chill factor of 56 below, the temp in actuality is above that. That's what the wind chill factor. But they're talking about some of the stuff I've read of it being like 56 below zero with a wind chill factor of like 100. No life, including
trees,
fish,
able to live through that.
Right, would not be sustained if an actual ice age were to happen.
To occur,
To go the route that they're thinking it would. And, yeah, you'd have some major upsets just in the eco balance alone, you know, let alone population running to either the East Coast or the West Coast. And here's the thing is, once you go to whatever coastline, that's it. You can't go back across that, you know, by car or train or, you know, I don't know about plane, but, you know, it's predominantly where you're going to stay, and that's it.
Well, you know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, everybody saw in the Midwest here how brutal, beyond brutal, you know, the ice was, the cold, everything. You know, because not many people saw, like, ice houses or White houses and everything. Ice. And, you know, how many times in our lives have we seen that here or anywhere? It was crazy. It's something you would see out of, you know, like, what was that movie, 2010 or whatever that was, 2014 or something, you know, where it was the extreme weather, you know. And
we had salt water freeze over here. And salt water usually doesn't freeze because it's salt.
Right.
You have to get a couple of days of below zero weather for it to begin to freeze up, you know, along the coastline. Not so much where there's a lot of waves and stuff, but more like in the, you know, in the bays and in the rivers where, you know, you don't have that wake of waves. It begins to ice up along the shorelines. And that's when you know it's extremely cold. And, you know, we had that happen this year, and that was just, I haven't seen that happen since I was a kid.
Right.
So.
Well, like the lake here, you know, the last remaining part of the freeze, it was, I don't know, one part in June where it finally melted. That was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I kept posting up those photos. I mean, because I was just, it was something historical, but then depressing and like, damn, this is coming. You know what I mean?
Ugh. Well, along with these winters, they're also throwing into key factors that the summers are going to be becoming unbearable too.
Right.
Last summer, we had record high temperatures here on the East Coast, and you guys did there in Chicago that was making, like, worldwide news. And
that's
just as bad, too. You know, too hot or too cold is just, that's not good.
And there wasn't a fine medium. Sorry. There wasn't a fine median in between the cold and the extreme cold and the extreme heat, you know.
Right.
I mean, it was like, I remember one day calling you, what was it, a year or two ago, it's 114 degrees here.
Yeah.
Muggy
well,
as hell.
You know, you got that heat index in play, and I mean, like last summer, a couple of the beach days, they got so hot that the beaches, the water becomes like bacteria ridden, and you can't allow
anybody
the beaches
in the water
to swim because, you know, it's too warm and the bacteria that should be getting killed off are not
breeding. It's a breeding ground, and because they do that here every year, they'll shut the lake out because of the same reason.
Yeah. So, you know.
But the crazy people will still go and jump in and ask, like, why are you nuts?
Well, you know, when they get sick and they'll regret it.
Yeah. It is what it is. You know, not everybody's going to listen.
Well, the problem is that we haven't maintained the right stuff on this planet, you know, with the way we do things. And once you break your earth, which is your home, you know, it's not like we can run up to it and put a big Band-Aid on it and it's all better.
And
we'll
fix it. Yeah.
We fucked up the atmosphere with all we put into it. You know, it's like reap what you sow. And the thing is way back when, they knew and they just, you know, nobody said anything. And now that it's,
they
you know.
They ignored it. beyond
right.
control. Yeah.
Right. And now that it's at extreme levels, like, you know, the people in China got to walk around with masks on some days because of the pollution, you know, shit like that is still going on. And
yeah.
it's like, you know, when do people stop and realize that, you know, pretty soon the damage is not going to be reversible and there's going to be major, major imbalances, and it's going to be because of the people, nothing else.
Well,
can't blame anything else. Corporate
exactly.
greed, whatever.
Well, see, that's what Al Gore was trying to do for so long by going
and telling
people.
He was absolutely right, and people made fun of him. And now they've got the proof, you know, that what he was talking about, yeah. You know, so, you know, I think with that whole situation, people threw the politics into it. He was a Democrat, therefore, blah,
yeah.
blah. You know, and they should have just looked at it for what it was. And, you know, Al Gore is not my favorite person in the world, but I thought his theory on global warming was very cool. You know,
exactly.
it looked at it in a totally different perspective. And the media and the politicians and everything, of course, you know, had a field day with it. But, you know, now who's getting the last laugh? You
yeah.
know, it's happening. And you know what? People aren't doing anything to correct it. And by the time
no.
they do, it's going to be too late. They had another tsunami. When was it?
Oh, I know. I heard
yesterday.
That.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing more and more of those, and that comes from an earthquake underground, and, you know, Mother Nature's
And how
upset.
Often did we
that,
hear about this, like, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago? How often did we hear about
we
it?
We didn't. We
exactly.
didn't hear about typhoons, you know, and now we are because, you know, the earth is shifting in different directions, things are drying up, you know, shit... Not the same, you know, it's not the same. And that's just like these idiots that are going out into the redwood forest and taking chunks out of those big redwood trees because the money pays top dollar and people are doing whatever they're doing with it. But the people that are taking care of these trees are having a tough time keeping them alive.
Yeah,
and
because there's not enough
the
people
damage.
To watch them. Yeah.
Yep. And it's like people should be ashamed of themselves, you know, for
doing
something
that.
Like that. But these trees are hundreds of years old, you know, that's why they're so big. There was something I'd read many, many years ago about the disruption of rainforests. When you when you let the tree come down out of the ground with the roots, any bacterias or hidden elements that were part of that tree system way back when can
right.
be exposed and turned into an epidemic if it's the wrong thing. Now, people are taking chunks out of these big-ass trees that have been around since pilgrims or
hundreds
whatever.
Hundreds of years, yeah. I mean,
they're not even trees. They're not even thinking of anything like that, neither.
No.
You know, people need to just, you know, stop being stupid, and that's just stupidity. All that is they want money. You know, and I was appalled when I seen that. I really was.
Well, yeah, I mean, because those are, they're historical trees. I mean, they've been, yeah, we learned about the redwood trees when we were kids. You know?
Yeah, they're protected, you know, and it's just, it's sad. You know, we don't have anything on this country and anywhere except down there that holds these trees, you know?
Exactly.
And it's the last of their kind in this country, and, you know, people are taking chunks out of them and not caring if the tree lives or dies. And that's
wrong. You know, being... When I was a kid, there were families that would go to California for a vacation or something. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
When they would come back, it was, you know, the exciting thing was there were friends of mine that had photos as they were standing near these trees. And
my grandparents have a photo, okay, that was taken. There's a tree you can drive through. Right. It's like a road, a tunnel, and that's how wide this tree is. Yeah, and they've got a picture in front of it, too. And, you know, you think of something that big and that majestic, and it's like, why would people do that? Why?
Exactly. I mean, and that's what I'm saying, what the difference is here. Being a kid, you're looking at it as history, geography, whatever you want to call it. It's something magnificent that you appreciated the beauty of. You know, it's not like people today where it's like, well, they want to cut a chunk out just to, hey, look at what I got. What is wrong with you? You know, nobody has respect for anything revolving around nature or anything that is historical like that. You know, someone or somewhere has to get in and do something. And it's like, stop. You know, I don't get it.
They need more forest rangers.
Well, they make about 30,000-40,000 a year. You know, yeah, it's not the best of money. But, you know, for people that are really into it, into nature and everything else, you know, it is a good job. And they get to live out there. That's the beauty of it. They get to wake up to that every day.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's not enough to stop what's going on.
Hey, I'm gonna take off.
Okay,
goodbye.
They're knocking on the door again.
Okay.
Little Mike P.
Have a great night.
Talk to you guys Tuesday.
Okay.
Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah.